This is an Enterprise Times podcast sponsored by Unit 4. My name is Steve Brooks, and I'm talking today to Beata Wright, Executive Vice President of Global Partner Ecosystems at Unit 4. Today, we are talking about what makes a successful channel partner and what can turn an existing channel partner into a great one. It is not just how the value-added reseller operates, but also how the vendor engages with them. Hello, Beata. Could you just tell me a bit about yourself, please?
Thanks for the introduction and the warm welcome, Steve. I'm really excited to participate today. My focus has always been on building successful and winning partnerships, programs, and the teams that meet the market demand, exceed customer expectations, and really support an organization's accelerated growth objectives. I spent the first 18 years of my professional career in human capital management, primarily focused on the workforce management space in various different leadership roles, spanning from global marketing to global alliance partnerships. But last year, I made the transition into the ERP space and joined Unit 4. My primary objective at Unit 4 is really to build a world-class global partner ecosystem by simplifying, harmonizing, and globalizing partner relationships, and to define a new vision of what's possible while obviously capturing value for everyone that's involved.
Before we talk about what's possible and how they go about it, what actually is a channel partner? Because there can be some confusion about what people mean.
That's a great question, Steve. There are many different reasons I believe that an organization should consider becoming a channel partner and a lot of different benefits that they can realize. It really varies based on the type of channel partner they're looking to become. It can be anywhere from a distributor to a system integrator, a value-added reseller, a co-sell partner. Those are all different type of channel partners that we look at. But to highlight some of the key benefits that I see some of our partners realize, I'd say that they fall into one of a few different categories. Market credibility, and that's provided to the channel partner through name recognition and reputation by being associated sometimes with a larger vendor. Another advantage or benefit is being able to build that competitive advantage by delivering the latest technology or products and building expertise through enablement and certifications that may be offered through the vendor and really become that trusted advisor to their customers, allowing them to drive transformation for their prospects and for the customers that they work with. Another area is really around expanding their reach and their ability to access new markets and regions. Sometimes an organization or channel partner is looking to expand into a region where the vendor may already be existing, or vice versa. The vendor may have requirements or not looking to build their direct sales teams in a specific region where a partner can help them grow into that region. Lead generation and awareness is definitely another area. By partnering with an organization, you have additional marketing support, which can allow you to really collaborate on pipeline building activities, which ultimately leads into one of the key reasons that an organization would look at becoming a channel partner is around incremental revenue growth by increase in margins and more prospect opportunities. So there's lots of benefits to becoming a channel partner.
You've talked about, in a sense, from the vendor point of view, but what does the partner need to bring to the table?
Ultimately, there needs to be alignment in terms of values and goals of the partnership. What I would say that a channel partner needs to bring is either strong vertical or local expertise, an experienced and passionate team, and ultimately the focus on customer success. If you can come to the table with those three main things, that you can work through and build up a successful partnership.
One word you haven't mentioned there is culture. How important is the culture match between the organizations, or can you have different types of partner?
Absolutely. I think that culture is key. We have really strong corporate values at Unit 4. When we look at our partnerships, we really look at them tying into our corporate values, and culture is really important at Unit 4. The alignment of those values is equally as important. There needs to be a strong alignment in values and culture.
The question there is, are channel partners born or can they be nurtured? Because culture is very hard to change if you're already midlife. So do you find channel partners are naturally born in order to get that cultural alignment?
The cultural alignment is the foundational piece, and it's really important, but I don't think that a channel partner can be born. I believe that all partnerships need to be nurtured. You need to be able to put in the time and the energy to really make it work. You get what you put in. True channel partnerships are based on those shared values, shared goals, alignment in terms of objectives, and the proven success in the market, but takes a lot of time and energy and collaboration. It all starts with that alignment in terms of culture, but then it needs to be nurtured to be truly successful.
If you've got that culture, what are the other components that the partner needs to have in place? Because it's not just about culture. They've got to have some assets effectively, haven't they?
To be a channel partner, you need to have a strong sales team, and there needs to be focus on customer success, on sales, being able to have the expertise and the knowledge in that specific vertical market. So I think that those are the other key components that a partner needs to bring into the mix.
Does size matter?
No. Again, what's important in a good relationship is that a partner and a channel partner can clearly demonstrate that they have, together with the vendor, a unique and joint value proposition, and that the partner adds that knowledge or credibility in a particular market or in a vertical that can be demonstrated through customer success. So I don't think that it's the size that matters. It's really around that channel partner's unique experience and how the two partners work together to ultimately make a difference in the market and provide a value proposition to the customers.
You've talked about how industry vertical expertise is important, region is important to an extent, but if you want to become a vendor partner, how do you make sure that you don't compete with your next door neighbor? Because you don't want to enter a red ocean, do you? You want to enter a nice blue ocean to sell.
I think that that's true. One of the things that is really important in any successful partnership from the beginning is to set clear guidelines and clear rules of engagement well in advance. So when you're having a discussion around becoming partners and you've identified the fact that there's a good cultural fit, that there's vertical alignment, that there's domain expertise in a specific region or vertical, the next step is to have that conversation around the rules of engagement. How are you going to make sure that you're going into a market and, for lack of a better word, playing nicely? A lot of the times, it's not about a partner going into a region and being completely autonomous and going out on their own. A lot of the times, what I see is the partners working together with a vendor sales organization, with the organization to go to market, to add that story, to really win the customer's trust and engagement. There's a lot of collaboration there, and I really believe that a channel partner should be treated as an extension to an organization and an extension to your sales team. So I don't believe that you need to segment a specific vertical or market. It's really about collaboration and setting those clear rules of engagement. There are often times where you do want that clear delineation and space where a partner can focus primarily. But in other scenarios, it completely makes sense for the two sales teams and the two organizations to work very closely together.
You talked about trust within there and how you can build that sales engagement together. But are there any other things that make up what is a good vendor relationship in the end?
For a partnership to be successful, I think that, as I mentioned, both the vendor and the channel partner need to share those common values, the expectations of the partnerships from day one. And one of the most important common values, I believe, should always be on customer success. So partnerships that focus on solutions that will drive true value to the customers, allowing them to achieve their goals, is the true secret to success. Of course, to achieve that, the vendor must really empower the partner's success by truly treating them, as I mentioned, as an extension of their team. And they also need to have open dialogue throughout to make sure that the partnership lasts for the long run. Enablement is a very important part to a good vendor relationship. And that's part of treating your channel partners as an extension of your organization, is being able to share the same materials and information that they need to be truly successful.
How could it go wrong if I'm a channel partner? I want, obviously don't want it to go wrong, but what are the kind of the gotchas in a sense? Where can people fall down?
If you do not set those clear rules of engagement right from day one, you don't build that relationship with the two teams. So there really needs to be a strong period of time where the two organizations are building that trust, communicating. If you don't have the rules of engagement, you break the trust, or you don't keep the customer in mind while you're trying to come to resolutions that need to be truly win-win solutions for win-win-win, I would say. Win for the vendor, win for the channel partner, and win for the customer. If you don't keep those three things in mind, that's where things in partnerships go sideways and are difficult to recover from.
There's obviously dips in the economy. We've seen the pandemic, and that's for tech companies. They're coming out of it quite strongly at the moment. But there are tough times for channel partners, aren't there? And even for vendors sometimes. What happens when things get tough?
Absolutely. It's important. One of the things that we do as a best practice at Unit 4 is we meet with our partners on a quarterly basis to realign expectations, to do a pulse check and to check in. So we have regular governance meetings with our partners to ensure that we are still on track in terms of the goals and objectives that we set out for us as partners. When times get tough, I think it's even more important for partners to make sure that they're aligned, to understand what the challenges are that each of them are experiencing, and work together and maybe think outside of the box to come up with ideas that you need to adjust based on the circumstances that you're in. Sometimes there's just a realignment of goals and expectations when people are being put through challenging times like we're going through right now with COVID-19. But ultimately, it really boils down to alignment of expectations and open dialogue and communication.
Can you give an example of what that looks like?
Maybe I give you an example of a good vendor relationship or something that really worked well. We recently won a tender in the UK local government together with one of our elite partners in the UK, Enbridge Consulting. By partnering with Enbridge early on in the sales process, our teams were really able to collaborate and leverage their deep knowledge and the strong track record that our partner had with public sector organizations to really solve the customer's complex business requirements. We're able to offer an enhanced portfolio of solutions and services that ultimately provided the customer with that joint offering to benefit from a good product, a strong product, as well as the implementation services of our partner, Enbridge. Basically using them as an experienced and passionate team of consultants to deliver a project and a solution to the customer. That's an example of when a partnership really works well, when the team collaborates early on, they're sharing their expertise and ultimately providing the best solution to the customer. And if you flip that around, if you don't have that alignment early on between the two organizations, if you don't have that collaboration and that trust, ultimately everyone loses, especially the customer, which at the end of the day is the most important, the core of all partnerships.
If it goes wrong, what should the channel partner aim to do? Because relationships can break down, but is there something they can think about doing to try and fix it?
There are a lot of times where a partnership starts to go sideways for whatever reason it may be. It's important to, when you go into a relationship and a partnership early on, define what does success look like at the very beginning of the partnership. So as I mentioned, making sure that there's that alignment and agree on those KPIs and what your cadence is going to be in terms of communications and reviews. This way, you can clearly see when a partnership is starting to struggle and what pieces are starting to fall down. We recently also partnered with a company called Raven Intel, which is an independent business-to-business peer review site that helps customers make informed choices about which consulting partners they're going to use on their ERP software project to ensure success. Our partners are required to have joint customers rank their services after implementation, and it's a key measurement of our global partner program. And through this ranking by our customers, prospects can, one, make informed decision of who they want to work with, but we can also see which of our partners are sharing the same values around customer success, and we can also quickly rank their capabilities, which allows us to determine where they need additional support. Maybe that's through additional enablement or certifications. If you define what success looks like, agree on those KPIs early on, have those business reviews and those measures in place, you can see fairly quickly when things are not working and come to the table and agree on a path forward to get back on track.
There are going to be some channel partners out there who work or have worked historically with other vendors who maybe that relationship is breaking down, or they may have agreed some KPIs in the first place and followed that best practice. Is there something they should be doing? Should there be a senior business leader relationship in terms of exec sponsors for this relationship?
Absolutely. You bring up a really good point, Steve. When partnerships are truly successful, there is that alignment from an executive sponsorship perspective. And I think that it is important that those conversations are happening. Sometimes it's very easy to get into the weeds. I do think that on both sides, there needs to be a person that is responsible from a day-to-day partner operations, but it also is equally as important to have that executive relationship. We make sure that when we're working with a partner organization, there is that alignment at the executive level. There is that communication and alignment. And at the end of the day, if things do go wrong, you need to be able to have that honest conversation amongst the organizations at the executive leadership to have open and frank conversations of how we can improve on things.
You've talked about enablement, and that's one of the things the vendor obviously needs to provide in the relationship. Could you just expand on what you mean by that?
From my perspective, enablement is not only around product functionality or implementation. True enablement really is across all areas, starting from being able to understand what is the joint value proposition that the partnership is bringing to market. So it is from sales enablement. It could be from pre-sales enablement and making sure that you can demonstrate the solution and the value to the customer and prospect. It is also being able to support customers after go live. It is product enablement and implementation enablement. So enablement really spans various different areas of the business. And as you bring on a partnership and go through that life cycle of onboarding, you need to make sure that you have an enablement program that works with a partner throughout the sales process from beginning to end to be able to truly support a partner and for the partner to be autonomous. One of the questions that you asked earlier is, what should the partner provide in the relationship? And it's really an investment of time. The partner needs to make sure that they are going to invest the time to build a sales team. They provide that investment in time for enablement. They provide the investment in time to engage and build the relationship between the channel partner and the vendor. They also need to provide investment in terms of support. So they need to make sure that they have a channel partner and somebody that owns the relationship so that they can ensure that there's alignment throughout and that there's a strong plan to be able to achieve what you've defined as success for that partnership. On the flip side, from a vendor perspective, I think it's really important for the vendor to provide one financial incentive for the channel partner to be successful. The vendor also needs to be able to provide clear understanding of what those rules of engagements are and what that successful partnership looks like. But they also need to make sure that they provide the investment in time for effectively onboarding the vendor, for that continuous enablement, for providing that certification so that they build that knowledge as well as being able to build that trust with their customers, and also being able to provide the tools and the materials and the marketing support at the end of the day for that channel partner to be successful. Those are all of the things that need to come into play from both sides, but there really is a lot of investment in time and into the partnership on both ends.
That sounds quite time rich for the channel partner. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but some channel partners want to maintain multiple vendor relationships. Is there a risk there they need to consider? And how do they need to approach that if they're thinking about adding another vendor to their list?
A channel partner really needs to evaluate what their organization looks like and what their channel strategy looks like in the long run. So it really depends on the situation and the overall objectives of the channel partners. In some cases, the channel partner may decide that that is their primary go-to-market strategy, and they're going to go to market with multiple vendor relationships, and they need to be able to build the organization to be able to support that. As you're building out a new channel program or channel ecosystem within your organization, you really need to make sure that you have the resources and the time to be able to make those partnerships successful and make sure that you have clear delineation of where and how you play in the market with each of the different vendors. A lot of the times, having multiple vendor relationships is not a bad thing because they complement each other. Some play very well in a particular vertical or in a particular region. What is most important is to be able to decide what is that strategy and being able to clearly communicate it to the vendors that you're working with so that you don't break down that trust and that you're clearly able to give direction to your own organization of where you're going to spend your time and energy and focus and what's going to bring most value to your organization and your growth strategy.
It sounds like you're advocating generally people should go for complementary vendors rather than competing vendors. And I have seen both.
I have seen both too. Both can work. I've seen scenarios where an organization supports multiple vendors that are competitive in nature. Typically, they don't play in the exact same space. So a channel partner may decide to partner with an organization that is strong in a particular region and vertical versus that are in the same space. So they may both be offering ERP solutions. However, one vendor is primarily focused on regions or verticals that the other is not, and therefore it makes sense for that channel partner to have multiple vendor relationships with similar products that may be competitive in some nature. I think that at the end of the day, it really depends on the overall strategy. I have seen both work, and in some cases, I've seen it be quite challenging for the channel partner to manage those relationships. So my advice would be to really evaluate how you can segment the markets so that you don't create channel conflict for your own organization or create channel conflict with the vendors that you're working with or partnering with.
Earlier on, you mentioned some different strategies for channel partners, which is kind of the distributor, the VAR co-sell. Could you explain just a little bit about each of those, what the different strategies are for building a channel partner?
Yes, there are various different type of channel partnerships that you can enter into. When you look at adding a value-added reseller, this is really probably the most time-consuming but the most rewarding type of partnership that you could probably enter into. So for a value-added reseller partnership, you're probably spending a lot more time and it's a bit more strategic in nature than what you would consider a referral partner or co-sell partner. So with value-added resellers, you're typically spending a lot more time on onboarding and enablement, alignment, things of that nature. Whereas when you go into a co-sell scenario, it's really your two teams coming into play together to offer a solution to a customer in a unique selling scenario. So it could be a co-selling scenario where your partner value added is implementation services and being able to provide that transformation where the vendor is coming in with a best of breed solution. So it really depends on the type of scenario and type of vendor relationship you're entering into. But yes, there's different strategies of onboarding and enablement and different cadence of governance depending on the type of relationship you go in. And obviously, there's also different models in terms of revenue shares and margins. So the commercial terms of some of those partnership types vary depending on whether it's a value-added reseller or a co-sell partnership.
What kind of business can consider becoming a channel partner?
an organization should really determine what their overall strategy is and determine what their primary goal is for becoming a channel partner. Then I would suggest making a list of who are the vendors that make sense for you to look at and for you to partner with, and then having those conversations to determine, is there a cultural fit? Is there a market demand? What is that joint value proposition? And is there a win-win scenario for both the vendor and the partner to enter into this partnership? At the end of the day, I really think that those are the key things that an organization should look at when they're considering a channel business, is having those conversations and really determining whether or not it's going to help them achieve their goals and who those vendors are and what that looks like.
You can talk about management consultancies might want to become a channel partner, but I'm just wondering if there are some companies out there that you've seen that may not even think about becoming a channel partner just because it's not an obvious progression for them. Maybe you've seen it done somewhere else in the world before successfully, or maybe it is quite a good idea for them to go down that route because they have some value and expertise in the industry.
I would definitely say that we have several partners, and I have seen a lot of partners that start off their partnership with an organization as a system integrator type partnership. So they're doing a lot of the implementations for a vendor, and naturally the partnership progresses to become a channel partner because as they change their strategy or they're growing as an organization, they have worked alongside the vendor, worked alongside their sales organization, and have started to build that expertise and get to the point where they feel confident that they can lead an entire opportunity from beginning to end, meaning they have the network now to be able to identify opportunities. They have the ability to support a sales cycle and then take it all the way through to implementation and project support and success. So I have seen a lot of partnership evolve from initially being that system integrator to then evolving into a successful channel partnership. That needs to be a conversation between the vendor and the partner to determine when the right time is to make that progression and to become that channel partner. But I think that it adds true value to both the vendor as well as the system integrator.
What's the first step a business owner should consider when starting a channel business?
Put together your strategy, define what success looks like, define what your differentiators are in the marketplace, start small and work your way up. Meaning don't try to boil the ocean all at once, find a couple of key partnerships, define what that success looks like, and have a winning partnership and then repeat it with other vendors. If you start too large, it becomes too much for an organization to take on all at once. So define what success looks like. What is your channel partner strategy looking forward? Find one or two good partners where there's clear alignment, clear values, make it successful and replicate it.
What do you mean by don't start too large?
Don't go after a large partner ecosystem all at once. It's not about the quantity of partners that you have in your ecosystem. It's really about the quality of those partnerships. And that was one of the things that I spoke to our organization about when I first joined. We had a large partner ecosystem, and I said to our organization, let's look at them and let's see the ones that are truly adding value to our customers and to our channel partners and determine whether or not they're working. Because at the end of the day, it's really not about the volume of partnerships you have. It's about the quality of those partnerships and truly making them work and being successful.
I assume from the partner point of view, that's very much around focus, because if you've got a large vendor who covers multiple sectors, multiple regions, a small startup channel partner needs to have a focus, needs to have a very clear understanding of what their specialist industry is and not just take any sales lead across any location in any industry.
Absolutely. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier in terms of understanding and having clear alignment in terms of what your value proposition is in the marketplace, where your areas of expertise are by vertical or by region, and really having focus on that area. And that also comes around to rules of engagement and alignment with the sales organization. If you can clearly explain to a vendor or to a customer that our partnership is really strong and the true benefit of this partnership is in the higher education space in UKI region, and we have several different successful customers that we can point to, and we have that knowledge and expertise that we can bring to the equation. So it really comes around focus and understanding where your areas of expertise are.
Beata, thank you very much.
Great. Thank you very much, Steve. Appreciate it.
What is the best way to approach Unit 4 about a partnership if you're thinking of setting up one?
The best way to reach somebody at Unit 4 is through unit4.com, our website. Through the partner page, we have a link there to become a partner, and that will come directly to me as well as to my team, and we'll happily engage with you to have that initial conversation to see if there is a cultural fit and if there is a fit from a vertical or regional perspective, and we happily welcome those conversations.